When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this movie, film, podcast spectacular with myself, Gareth Morgan, and Ori here to talk about everything that we have in terms of Netflix right now in the streaming world, because 2020 has been strange, hasn't it? There's been not really many massive tempo releases in the cinemas, obviously because of the global situation that we have right now. But in terms of things that have been released online, Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, there's been an awful lot because we've all been at home watching our televisions and we've needed some new stuff to sink our teeth into. So we've got a few that we want to talk about, a few, let's say, maybe hidden gems, maybe not so hidden, just stuff that we want you to watch and maybe uncover during maybe the closing stages of this year going into next year. So Ori, why don't you take us away? What's the first thing or first feature that you'd recommend from your time in this crazy 2020 landscape?
So before I even tell you those, there are some that I know that I need to watch because I have a list of them of ones that I've had before even doing this episode that I've said I need to find time to sit down and watch. But I've been doing the TV show thing, but there's some great movies. Yeah, I've been the person that's been catching up on series, but there are some great movies on these streaming platforms, exclusive to them as well, that I need to find time and sit down and watch. But the ones I did get a chance to catch up on, we'll start with... Let's go with the one that kind of just made it into 2020, and that was Six Underground. Now, full disclosure, it came out in the middle of December 2019, but it didn't get its real big boost and its real kind of attention until maybe middle of January after the Christmas season. And that was Six Underground starring Ryan Reynolds, as Corey Hawkins from Straight Outta Compton, Ben Hardy, who played Angel in... The amazing Apocalypse. He played Angel in Apocalypse. Yeah,
I'm thinking yeah, something else.
I forget there was two angels there, wasn't there? So yeah, he was Angel in Apocalypse. Melanie Laurent, who is amazing French actress. You remember her from Now You See Me. It's got a great cast of people. Even Dave Franco's in there. I don't want to say too much about his character because I feel if I say too much, I might spoil something to do with his character. However, it's a team of special skilled agents in their own field. Some of them are great, good at tech. Some of them are good at just straight up killing enemies, but they're all presumed dead. They've joined up as a team, and their whole mission is to take out people in the world who do things that would do wrong for the world. So if there's massive terrorist organizations, they go kind of undercover and take them out. Directed by Michael Bay, it's very Michael Bay-esque. So, you know, swinging camera angles all around the place and loads of sky shots and slow motion explosions. If you threw a transformer in there, you'd be able to just think, yeah, this movie makes sense. It's very much Michael Bay, kind of meets, I want to say, Crank, just with some of the speed and intensity of some of the action films, action scenes in there. So yeah, it's a good film. I'm not going to say it's the best on the list of even mine or your list, but it's an enjoyable film because who doesn't like seeing Ryan Reynolds crack a few jokes every now and then and just be his charming, interactive character with all the cast that he is, with all of his jokes. And there's a part of you that kind of wants him to break the fourth wall purely because of what we're used to seeing him as Deadpool. I'd say watch it as a relaxing kind of chilled out, I could do with an action movie with a few jokes, try and ignore one or two of the continuity errors that I picked up straight away. It always stand out at you, don't they, Gareth, when you see like a mirror that's broken on a car, and then in the next scene that same wing mirror is still there. It's little things that do pop out at you. Ignore those, and it's a good kind of go in there fast and furious level of action explosive film. Yeah, it's got a bit of heart to it. Not the best on the list, but it definitely is something worth giving a watch.
And that's something I've not actually seen yet. I've not actually jumped into this world of Ryan Reynolds being the action superstar post Deadpool, which I'm fully here for. I'm all here for the Renaldissance. Renaldissance that is happening right now with this kind of like, the action superstar flicks that he could do now. And just blending his charisma, his natural charisma, that he's finally letting him off the leash just to do his own thing. I'm here for that. So I'm probably going to check that one out. I've still not actually seen it yet. It's on my list. But the first one I want to talk about, again, from Netflix, a Netflix original, is a film that I watched recently. I watched this weekend. I watched Mank, which is directed by David Fincher.
Okay.
And it is the story. I'm going to read off a little bit of the synopsis now because I don't want to butcher it too much by trying to explain in my own terms what it is. But it's a 1930s Hollywood. It's reevaluated through the eyes of scathing social critic and alcoholic screenwriter Herman J. Mankiewicz, as he races to finish the screenplay of Citizen Kane for Orson Welles. So on the tin straight away, this is pretty much like the behind the scenes of how we got to one of the most celebrated movies of all time in Citizen Kane. And Gary Oldman plays Mank in it. He is absolutely outstanding because it's kind of what you expect now of Gary Oldman when he's in this kind of project with this kind of talent, that kind of a director around. He's always going to produce the goods. And around him, the supporting cast, you've got Tuppence Middleton, who plays his wife, Sarah, who's a poor Sarah throughout it, which is really upsetting as you get later on into the film. She just kind of gets dropped to the wayside. It's a very complicated relationship that he has with his wife because he's such a, let's say, dedicated workaholic in one sense, but then equally he just rebels against Hollywood all the way through the film. It's such a cool, complex role that you can see Gary Oldman's having the time of his life playing. And then with him as well, you've also got Amanda Seyfried, or Seyfried, I always forget how to pronounce it. And Lily Collins are both excellent in it as well. But for me, the first thing that really caught my eye in this film, I mean, a lot of things caught my eye, the fact that it's in black and white, it's scored brilliantly to make you feel like you are in the middle of 1930s, 40s Hollywood, proper old school. But the appearance of Tom Burke as Orson Welles in this film, his accent, what he brings, Orson Welles has got one of the most recognizable voices in history, not just film, not just radio, just in history. I mean, you hear his voice, I'm not going to attempt to do it now, but he convinced people that War of the Worlds was a real thing. And the guy is just unbelievable. But Tom Burke actually, he did something so unique with his voice. He didn't try to just do a cardboard copy. He caught the energy of Orson Welles and then just brought it into this world, this version, this David Fincher setting that he'd made up, and I thought it was fantastic. And there's a brilliant scene between him and Gary Oldman later on in the film where he just loses his shit, and it's great. But I definitely recommend watching this one. It's a very, very different shift, let's say, from a Six Underground. Not quite the same film, but it's
energies.
that's the word, different energies. But for me, it's a film that you really appreciate when you watch it at home because you'll be able to pause it and really go into a few little like nuggets, let's say, in the actual the film itself that you wouldn't necessarily be able to do in the cinema. But it is the kind of film that I would have liked to see in the cinema as well, because it is so grand. It is that old school Hollywood feel. So bit of a toss up when I was watching this. I was very conflicted.
See, you said it was a film that was done in black and white as well, so they've really kind of kept it true to what we would expect the times to be represented as on film, similar to Schindler's List, which was easily able to be filmed in color, but they had little elements of it in color, but for cinematography, but they shot it in black and white to kind of represent the time that the film was based on. So I would have seen it and gone, oh no, a black and white film, and then maybe bypassed it. But from what you're saying now, especially from hearing about what you said about Tom Burke doing a great Orson Welles, I'll check it out. I'm gonna go see it for myself. I'm gonna bypass the fact that there's not much there's not much bright colors on the screen and so on, but I will give it a go if it's well acted out. And I saw Charles Dance is in it as well, isn't he? Or Dance, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Charles, no, you got, well, I'm Northern, so I say Dance. Charles Dance sounds a lot better. He's very good in it as well. Like it's a strange film because it's anchored by that lead performance of Gary Oldman, but the ensemble just pulled away massively throughout it. That's the only way this film works, in my opinion.
Nice, I'll check that out. I take that out. I feel bad now because I'm going to shift it right again from from such a quality kind of almost biopic film back to more explosions.
Hey, we've got diversity on the show. Like when it comes to films, we just mix it up. We've got your biopics, we've got your action spectaculars. We do it all on this show, don't we, Ari?
We do. Well, this one, to be fair, is not as over the top as, let's say, Six Underground. This is a more grounded one. There was a film that came out called Extraction, which there was a big hoo-ha about it on social media because Chris Hemsworth plays the main character. And if anybody has ever seen Chris Hemsworth's social media, all he does is he's a Jack the Lad kind of guy, makes you laugh, spends 25 hours a day in the gym making us feel like we're not working out enough. He looks fantastic. And when you see his role in Extraction, it's the same feeling. You watch him do an action film, which is not CGI-esque like he's done in The Huntsman or as he's been in the obvious one, Thor, in the MCU. This one's very more Bourne. It's very more kind of Bourne identity, hard-hitting, gritty action. He's a gentleman who's a merc for hire. He's been hired to help rescue a kidnapped son of a quite a prominent character in Bangladesh. And it really delves into the underworld that we may not even realize that part of the world has or hasn't seen been represented on screen in such a way. There's talking about drugs, it's talking about illegal arms sales and the use of younger adults to be part of these criminal organizations. And then you've got this kind of Americanized, I can't remember if he actually has American or Australian accent in this one. I cannot remember. I think he's Americanized in this one. Americanized kind of, not super soldier, but almost untouchable, unbeatable, serious piece of work in terms of as a mercenary, comes in, just takes out so many of these criminals in this city and really, really kind of leaves his mark and stain as when he's trying to rescue this kid. And it's so good. It's so well done. There's a lot more choreography in this rather than CGI. In fact, I'm probably going to say that minimal CGI, you may see little bits as only touch-ups, but it's not going to be as obvious as like say green screen with an MCU film. This is Chris Hemsworth really getting into his fitness bag to make sure he looks great. He looks good as an army man. And it's really, really well done. David Harbour's in there as well. We mentioned him in the last episode, didn't we, in terms of his character going into, the MCU. Everyone's in the MCU, it seems. David Harbour's in here. He's a bit more grounded. He's not very, he doesn't look like Hellboy, and he doesn't look like who he's going to be when we see him in Black
That'd
Widow.
That'd be a hell of a crossover.
Exactly that. But we don't see that. And then you've got many characters, many actors and actresses that I'll be honest, I'm not that familiar with, but are very prominent in the Bollywood movie industry. If I butcher these names, my absolute apologies. There's
in the goal safe space here. It's a safe space.
No problem. There's Goldshifte Farani, who's been in loads and loads of films within Hollywood and in Bollywood as well. Pirates of the Caribbean, she's been in. Extraction is what I've just said. Body of Lies and Patterson. There are some younger actors in this film as well that I'd like to highlight because they've done really well for what I assume is one of their first major kind of Hollywood appearances. One of the main characters in here, who I believe is the name of the gentleman who is to be rescued, he plays a character called Ovi. It's Rud. Again, I don't want to get this right. I'm going to try my best. You know what it is? I've got a name as well that when people say it, they sometimes go Auri or Aura, and I have to go, no, it's Ori. So I always respect trying to say people's name correctly. Rudrakesh Jaiswal, I believe, and he plays a character called Ovi, who's a young man who's going to get rescued. He's been in many films, especially within the Bollywood industry. This is his main breakout role in a film that crosses over to Hollywood, and he just stood out as one of the great characters that was in this movie. And you've got, again, with Chris Hemsworth being in a part of the world where he isn't easily recognizable, and to be fair, he stood out as well due to, I mean, you've got many people from different backgrounds, but mainly him amongst a predominantly Asian market. He stood out in the areas, and there were people that were approaching him, wanting pictures, they wanted autographs, some of them wanted to train with him for the day. Seeing the behind the scenes stuff made me want to watch this film. When I watched it, I wasn't disappointed. Gritty action, great watch. If you get a chance to, it's one of the ones where It's not lighthearted. There's not many jokes in there at all. But if you really like to see, like I said, Bourne-esque action, which just keeps going and going and going, definitely pay attention to this film. It's a great one to watch. Sit down with you and your partner, with you and your friends, have a drink, have something to eat, but literally you'll be there, eyes glued to the screen, trying to figure out how do they manage to deliver this action scene. And that looked like it really, really hurt. The fight scenes in there are very good as well. I'd say if you get a chance, give it a good watch. It's not going to be as lighthearted, but you're definitely going to thoroughly enjoy it.
I think you sold me on this, Ori. Like, I was on the fence. I was on the fence a little bit, because in terms of 2020, there's not been an awful lot of, like, significant action movies to the extent of what we had, like last year, purely because of the fact there's not been cinemas open for people to go rushing in there and just munch on popcorn and not necessarily switch the brains off for a little bit, but watch something because that's what these films tend to go down. Like, in terms of this, it seems like it was always destined to land on Netflix and just be a Netflix release, so it's quite kind of an oddity in itself there. But I think it's strangely benefited from the current climate, because there's not been many of these action films dropping this year. It's really stood out as one of the few significant ones, one of the major ones. So I'm disappointed in myself that I've not yet watched this, because it sounds like my cup of tea, because I'm really into the Bourne stuff. I like the more gritty James Bond kind of films as well, and this sounds like it's falling more into that category.
It's definitely like that.
It's not as stylish, let's say, as a Six Underground, which still sounds really quite my cup of tea as well. There's a lot of action I need to really get stuck into. I've been letting the side down here. I will do better, Ori. I will do better going forward. But
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The reason is I've been watching a lot of things that have been not necessarily heavier, but let's say based in more real life, based on real life events. I've been watching one of my personal favorites this year that I've seen on Netflix was The Trial of the Chicago 7, which it seems to be a bit of a theme with what we're bringing to the table here, because this is another stellar ensemble cast, just an absolute who's who. If you're looking through it, you've got the likes of Sacha Baron Cohen. I put Corbin here for some random reason.
Was in this film.
No, he was not. Jeremy was not in this film. They've got Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Matt Rylance, Eddie Redmayne, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Michael Keaton. Just a few of them. Just a few of the names that got just sprinkled in this cast. And it's all based on the infamous 1969 trial of 7 defendants who were charged by the federal government with conspiracy and a few other things. And it arises from the countercultural protests in Chicago at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. So this trial absolutely gripped the nation when it went down. I didn't obviously know much about it because I wasn't born at this point. So I don't know my history about this subject. And I was really finding it out as I was watching it, which a lot of people probably will when they're watching this kind of film on Netflix. So when you've got somebody like Aaron Sorkin, who's directing it, and he also wrote the script for this as well, You know that he's going to get that information across to an audience, but he's also going to make it a hell of a feature to watch and just keep you absolutely locked into what's going on. Because pacing wise, if you've seen things like Molly's Game that he did, he wrote the screenplay for that. I think that was an Academy Award winning screenplay, or at least nominated. I can't remember precisely. It was a few years ago now. But he absolutely excels in just rifling through, just keeping, like, not rushing through anything, but just keeping the pace ticking over. And you're constantly like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And you just drip feed certain pieces of information. Obviously, this is based on a real story, a real trial that happened. So you can't exactly fabricate much of this. This is all based on legit stuff. But in terms of performances, it's a 130-minute runtime film. So there's a lot of time for people to steal the show. And in my personal opinion, Sacha Baron Cohen, not Corbin, as Abby Hoffman was unbelievable. In my opinion, I believe outside of all of his like Borat and Ali G stuff, where he just kind of throws himself into the character and just plays tricks on real people, in terms of straight up performances, acting performances, I'd say this is his finest yet, in my personal opinion. But he plays, let's say, close to like a hippie-ish kind of character who's kind of a bit of a rebel, goes against the grain, just does things his own way. And in terms of the trial itself, some of the most, not unintentionally, because I can tell he's definitely trying to make people laugh, but he offers levity. But then at the same time, his character is so complex in a sense, because he's arguably the smartest person in the room. He just uses it when he needs to. Okay. And just to throw a spanner in the works on the most part and just catch you really off guard. And he's excellent in the role. Then also Abdul-Mateen II as Bobby Seale just breaks your heart in this film, because some of the stuff he has to go through as a black character in this time, this time period, in this court scene, he's just the prejudice that's held towards him, the racism that goes down in this court throughout the film is just, it's heartbreaking. There's a particular scene in it that just makes you sick to your core when the judge orders something to happen to his character of Bobby Seale, who's I believe is the leader of the leader of the Black Panthers in this I don't know if I'm completely accurate on that. I may have to brush up again, but I think that's the character that he's playing in this, and it's just absolutely disgusting what happens. But if it's all based on real events, and it's just, that's what this film does really well. It shocks you when it needs to shock you. It needs to grip you in the reality of what went down in this event. And then it offers a bit of light at the end. The closing stages of this film are so moving and so inspiring after some of the harrowing stuff that we've seen beforehand. And it's strange that a film involves such kind of deep, hard-hitting moments that it does leave you sat in your chair thinking, oh, there's hope. There's hope in this world, strangely.
Do you know, I've got to check this out. I've heard so many good things about this. And similar to what you said, I've heard parts where you're going to watch it and there's going to be some serious bits that's going to really pull at your emotions. So I'm going to definitely check this out. It's not the easiest of years to watch films like this, I guess, because there's going to be some echoes of what many will say they see now. And I think that's probably why a lot of people have, there have been a lot of kind of documentaries and shows that have gone onto streaming platforms that are of this nature. I mean, when we heard about what was going to happen in terms of us being in a situation as we are in terms of the world pandemic, etc., that you saw certain films come up on Netflix and we're like, wait, hold on, what? I've seen Contagion, I don't need to see it again, stop trying to scare me. I guess when it comes to films like this as well, with the kind of the talk around the climate as to just, I'm trying to be very sensitive how I say these things. In terms of what we've seen with the movements and some of the things that we've seen in terms of the campaigning across the world, to see this, especially when it comes to what you were saying about one of the characters in there and maybe how he was treated, I'd love to see this film, but it'd be one of those ones I kind of want to see it when I'm already on an okay day, because if it brings me down any lower, I guess it's going to proper yank at my heartstrings, and I'm not the person that likes that to happen if I'm not in the
best mood. In the moments where it needs to kind of stir you, it needs to kind of grab you by the scruff of your neck, it does that, and it really makes you respectful and appreciate, just even though things have been difficult this year, it's like the progress where we've come from. But it's so timely when it's happened. It's like, wow, the more things change, the more things stay the same. It's just that it ends like to summarize, it does end on a really positive, kind of inspiring
note. That's good to hear.
Like, there is a moment where you just stand there and you go, oh, thank God, there's some good in the world. But yeah, it's definitely harrowing at times. I can't sugarcoat it.
That's good too. All right, I'll flip it again. I'll bring it up a little bit now. as I do. Another action flick.
Yeah.
Can you tell what kind of movies I like watching? I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
I like this though. Bit of variation.
There you go. Project Power. Now, that was a good one for me. I do love this film. I like the idea behind it. Project Power, starring main characters, Jamie Foxx, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Those are the two that really stood out within there. There was a young character in Project Power. I didn't even type her name down properly. I'm going to get it up right now. She was a
show, in my opinion. She was really good.
Dominique Fishback as Robin. That's it. She was amazing. Now, I mean, they centered the film mainly around Jamie and Joseph, obviously, is the big name pullers. But she did stand out with her character kind of bouncing off Jamie Foxx throughout the movie. And it was just great to see their interactions. And it was one of those films where it's weird. It's one of those films that it was two stories, or not even two stories. It was one story that could be told without the main plot device and still be a great story. Main plot device being in this is that there's a drug that goes around. People take this drug and they have a certain set of powers for a short period of time. So rather than getting high off a drug, which gives you certain effects, maybe in terms of energy or sluggishness or whatever the effects that narcotics give you, this gives you superpowers. And you don't know what the superpowers are going to be. You take them and it could be at random. Some of them you may overdose on, and rather than you get superpowers, you actually just explode. So that's the risk in taking the drugs. But people, like, just as you would expect in the world where people do take narcotics, some are willing to take the risk for the high. And that's what this film is basically about. But the underlying story is, whilst this is going on, you've got Jamie Foxx, who's trying to avenge a family member of his. I won't say too much. I don't want to ruin it for you. And this is where he crossed paths with this amazing, the amazing Robin in there, who is somebody who helps sell the drugs, but then also wants to come out of that industry because actually she wants to be a rapper and she's really good at it too. So this performance was amazing from her. The ensemble of cast, that's the word. How can I miss the word cast? I'm going to say the ensemble of actors and actresses. The ensemble
that
cast
works as well.
Yeah, it does work. It's definitely not as, in terms of highbrow, in terms of the cast that you mentioned, some of the movies you spoke about, it's not ones where you go, oh my God, it's a plethora of fantastic, well-known Academy Award-winning actors and actresses, but they do come together really, really well, especially the relationship between Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Hewitt. I keep getting his name wrong.
Corbin, you're fine, buddy. You're fine.
When I typed in his name earlier on, I put Gordon Love Hewitt. And it actually said, no, what you mean is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And like someone must have done this before. But yeah, the chemistry between Joseph and Dominique in this is really great. The chemistry between Jamie and Dominique is good as well. And then later on, you see kind of the build up of the chemistry between Jamie and Joseph. It's a nice kind of feel-good film when you really get into Dominique's character. But then it's really, really enjoyable in terms of the action. Anyone who likes a superhero flick, anyone who likes the idea of there was a movie I was thinking about that it does compare to in terms of these characters getting their powers. It's a TV program. If you've ever watched Black Lightning, there's kind of a season in there where you see these younger people getting powers and they're all kind of a random kind of mix of powers because of certain things that they've been injected into them to try and see what powers are great for them. It's really reminiscent of that, but it's a film and it's great. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's an easy watch. And yeah, there are some great heartfelt moments in there. And there's also really kind of hard hitting bits where you see, even though it's an action film, you see some really loving bits when it comes to the relationship between Robin, who's Dominique's character, and let's say the relationship she has with trying to be the main carer for her mum in the household. Little things like that do stand out. It makes it a great watch. If you get a chance to watch it, do so. And if you do like a bit of Jamie Foxx in there as well, being Jamie Foxx. It's been a while since I've seen a film with Jamie in it that I've gone, that's a really good film. I think the last few has been like Ray and stuff like that, or even Collateral with Tom Cruise. This is one of those films with that kind of through the night grit, and Jamie's in it and it's fun. Give it a good watch. That's what I say.
Yeah, big fan of Project Power. I think it's a film that got a bit of spotlight when it came out, but then it seems to have disappeared again, which is, it deserves a bit more than that, because like you said, it's a bit of a flipped concept in terms of the superhero genre. It's not just paint by numbers here, so I got my powers by falling into some toxic waste. It's mixing in that kind of narcotic scene, which the world is obviously very much experiencing right now. In modern times, it's something that has its parallels. So it's I really enjoyed it as well, man. I think it was a great. It's not. I think this is something Netflix are doing quite well with their originals. They're not just great in action flicks that switch your brain off, just eat popcorn and just look at the explosions type of films. This is a film that's it's got a lot of heart when it gets going. There are times when maybe it does rely on just brutality at times, which works a treat. Just shocks the hell out of you, but at the core of it, it's just a really good story with three characters that you care about all the way through it. We're going to try and not necessarily wrap up quickly, but it's one of those things where there's an awful lot of films that have dropped on various streaming platforms and on terms of Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus. So we'll reel off a few honorable mentions that we've also watched this year that we can't necessarily get too far into because we'd be here for the next week because it's been a long old 2020. But a few that I want to talk about, The Five Bloods, which is brilliant. Spike Lee film. Excellent film that dropped this year. The Devil All the Time, which was Antonio Campos's film, which had a brilliant turn from Tom Holland there, real coming-of-age performance post-Spider-Man, even though he is still doing Spider-Man. But this, if this is what we've got to look forward to, Tom Holland going forward, it's some great stuff. On Amazon Prime, you've also got the Borat subsequent movie film, which was a big one this year. There's a couple. Ori, what have you got? What other honourable mentions can we bring to the table?
Well, I'm going to be so honest with you. My honourable mentions are fully based on films that actually came out before 2020, but because the streaming platform Disney Plus came out in 2020, I got to catch up on them.
Big loophole there, buddy. You're in.
This is it. So everything, that means anything that came out in the 80s, the Bedknobs and Broomsticks, that came out whenever that came out and I saw it in 2020. I've seen it before, but I've seen it in 2020 on Disney Plus. I dedicated my time to watching all the Disney Pixar films, the ones that I might have missed out. I've seen most of them. I love Disney Pixar, but there were some that I gave a miss. For example, The Good Dinosaur, I didn't really look into. I actually watched it. It's a beautiful film. Storyline lacks a little bit, but it was a beautiful film to watch in terms of the difference between like the mid-90s Pixar and where Pixar now, the level of quality, the level of advancements they've got in there. Their character designs, their CGI, even their storytelling has improved to a degree in the layers that they deliver. But Good Dinosaur just didn't have that all the way for me. Coco, though, on the other hand, Coco was through the roof, amazing. It brought me to tears. Don't want to tell you why. I don't want to give too much away. Just hear what I say when I say this. Watch Coco. It is amazing. And what's Inside Out as well, I got to catch up with. That is another great film. And one thing I like about Pixar is they have a lot of messages within all of their movies, which is not just ones that you see within the movie that's like, oh, that's a great message to hear and think about within the film, but actually to take outside of the film and put into your own lives as well. I mean, just even with Inside Out, the message is just being aware of growth in terms of puberty and also your own mental health and how important that is to you. Little things like that were really, really good for me to catch up on Disney Plus. It is not all 2020 releases, but there are some I need to check out on there as well, like Mulan, for example, that came out this year. Haven't seen, would like to see how they've done a live action Mulan. I don't know how Mushu may come across in that film, if he is in that film, if he isn't, if there's like a slip or a little Easter egg of Mushu. I've been told that there isn't one, but Mushu for me is what made the cartoon. Sad to see that he may not be in this film even as an Easter egg. I don't know, but I'll check it out and see it for myself. But yeah, that's my loophole of what I got to enjoy in 2020. It's all the stuff I missed out in the past 30 years, but got to see on one streaming platform. So that, I would say, is my little cheat code there.
But you've inspired me there, because in terms of Pixar films, I think I think Soul's coming out soon, I believe. Yes. I think that might be even dropping on Disney Plus. I think when that comes out around that time, I think me and you, Ori, we should do a little top 10 of our Pixar films, our top 10 Pixar movies.
Yes, definitely. I'll be up for that. I definitely have got time for that, 100%.
So keep your eyes peeled for this film podcast going forward, because that is surely going to be coming at some stage down the line. But for now, I have been Gareth from What Culture, and you can find me on Twitter at gmorgan04. Where can they find you, Ori?
I've been Ori. You can find me on Twitter at Ori, A-U-R-I-E, Styla, S-T-Y-L-A, all one word.
Excellent stuff. Be sure to head on over to whatculture.com, click on all the incredible articles that we've got there, follow us on Twitter at whatculture, and wherever you find these podcasts, wherever you're listening now around the world, don't forget to leave a lovely 5-star review, because Adam Wilborn absolutely loves it. It makes his day when he gets a little review like that. In the meantime, have all the fun you can, go and eat some food, chill out, and you've got some lovely Netflix and other streaming things to watch now. You are welcome. We will see you very, very soon.
Take care, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.